Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Hello, Kyle. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
It's good to be back together.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
And looking forward to today. And I'm really curious as to some of the questions you're going to ask today. Because we, as folks may not know, I go into this blind, except I know what I prepared and what I've studied. But I have no idea which direction you're going to take us sometimes. And so that'll be fun.
Well, and to be quite frank, I don't really know either. I love that the conversation takes us where the conversation does.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, today we're going to just our little toss-up thought question is what are blue laws and why is it something our culture had in the past? Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty well in the past now. There may be some areas that still have that. But anyway, we're going to try and answer that question before we're done today.
All right.
Hey, let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I thank you for the privilege to sit here with Kyle and to talk about such an important subject of rest. And Lord, you know how we have just exhausted ourselves as a culture. And it seems to be getting worse and not better. So I pray that you would help us to share some truth today that would be encouraging to people. And Lord, help us all to find the balance in our life that you want to give us. Ask you for, Lord, your direction now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, yeah, we asked the question on Sunday of why Sunday and what can we do and what can't we do. And as we were preparing that, I think we should just kind of dive into this a little bit. As we were kind of discussing what track we wanted to take for today, you said something about blue laws, and I thought, man, I haven't even thought of that in a long time. But that used to be a thing, and then, well, yeah, why did we have them? I get why we have them, had them, and why don't we now? I think might be the bigger question. So what are blue laws? You brought that up. What are blue laws?
Well, blue laws were laws that was, I don't know where the term came from, but they were laws that restricted businesses, mm-hmm. People, from doing business, secular business, on Sunday. And it was against the law to open your store on Sunday unless it was a necessary thing, like a hospital or something like that.
Right, right.
But as far as restaurants and other just daily businesses, they were all closed on Sunday, a.k.a. kind of like Chick-fil-A today.
Right.
But that's a choice, and back then it was on the books as a law, and there were certain things that absolutely would not be sold on Sunday, which is, for instance, alcohol. You couldn't buy alcohol on Sunday.
Well, and that's what I remember. I don't recall necessarily, like, restaurants. I mean, we could still go out to eat after church on Sundays, but you couldn't go buy a car. I remember that. And you couldn't buy alcohol. Like they'd paper off the section of that grocery store or whatnot that had alcohol if they had it there on Sundays. It just was not. And I seem to remember that actually fairly recently.
Well, you, of course, you're quite a bit younger than me. And but you go back to when I was a boy, and Main Street of small town USA, mm-hmm. was a ghost town.
Yeah, it was closed on Sundays.
It was shut down. Yeah. And that was because that was the law. And it was a general consensus back then in our culture that Sunday was a day to rest. Mm-hmm. Sunday was a day to worship.
Yep.
And so it was against the law to not do that.
Well, and maybe that's a deeper philosophical and theological question too. But as I look at old, my kids are watching Andy Griffith right now, which I will say every episode, they get quite a reminder, an indication that, excuse me, that Andy reminds them a lot of you. You remind them a lot of Andy. There's a lot of good Southernisms in there, and just those interactions that he has with people. Like, that's something Pastor John would say.
Well, I've never been compared to Andy Griffith, so that's kind of fun.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
At least they're not comparing me to Barney.
Or Otis.
Oh, my.
Oh, my, indeed. But it was just, like, you look at the culture in that time frame, and it was assumed that you went to church on Sunday. It wasn't an exception at all. It would have been an exception to not see somebody there. And there was an assumption that there was, and definitely before that too, that there was a belief, at least a tacit belief in God. Like, you just, everybody knew God existed, done, end of story. Now, how deep you got into that, well, you know, that's up for, that would be individual. But every person, you look at the founding of our country, they believed in a higher power, every single one of them. The most atheistic of them still believed in a higher power, you know.
Yes.
And we have come in the last, well, next year is going to be 250 years since the signing of the Declaration. But even in the last 50 years, we've reversed that, where it's an oddity to go to church on Sunday almost.
Yeah. The percentage of people that go to church on Sunday has decreased. Now, and by the way, that's on the rebound. But it's still different than it ever was before. Mm-hmm. And so why was that so? It's because there was an honoring of the Scripture. And quite frankly, back in that day, pastors were put on a pedestal. There was a whole different attitude toward pastors than there is today, and churches in general. There was tremendous respect for the church, mm-hmm. and even for its authority. And I'm not talking about a particular denomination, although that did vary from denomination to denomination. But the fact is, in general, there was a respect for that institution that we call the church. And of course, that came from a respect for God and His Word. And we have so secularized our culture, mm-hmm. that's something of the past.
Well, and I feel like that, as I'm trying to pin it down in my brain, like, what was the cause of that? And I was thinking of asking you that, and I thought, that's just putting somebody way too hard on the spot. Because I don't know if there, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure there is a singular thing of what happened.
You know, Kyle, the biggest thing that's happened is a thing that we put a lot of pride in as a nation, and that's called materialism. Money has become more important. It's become our God, or one of our gods. Mm-hmm. Money and sports have become that. Is there one particular reason for all of that? I think that we've just, in general, replaced the Lord God Almighty as the Lord, and we've allowed these other gods that you say, well, I don't worship money. Well, you know, the true definition of worship is, what do you spend your time thinking about and pursuing?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time in this nation that at least in appearance, people knew that God was to be first. And so that we've lost that, and other things are more important to people than God. And so here we are today. And, you know, there's been so many factors that's influenced that. I mean, we talked about the Conquer series and the porn. Mm-hmm. Well, it was back in the 50s that we had lies promoted,
mm-hmm.
that human sexuality was to be expressed freely and with no restraints. We had the birth of things like Playboy, and we had the Kimsey reports, which were blatant lies by a pedophile. And all of that began to undermine the moral fabric of our country. And then from that, just so many other things have dominoed.
When I look at that time frame, and I would broaden it a little bit. I'd say probably from like the 20s, through maybe the 60s were a very pivotal time for society. Yeah. And I'd like to say our society, but it's Western society. It's more what we would probably term as a more civilized society has really changed in that time, or really changed a lot in that time frame, from Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood and Kinsey and all those things, television being introduced.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds archaic to say in a way, but I really think television was a huge shift in our culture.
Yes. You know, pastors stood up in the 50s when TV started becoming a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say that Hollywood was going to take our country to hell.
They would
blatantly say that. And you know what? They were prophetic as far as Hollywood and its influences, and now its media has taken us down a path.
It's all the same.
That's anti-God.
Well, and you know, it's humorous to us to think of our parents or grandparents and whatnot, and what they said when Elvis was fresh and new, and you know, oh my goodness, don't even look at that, those hips, what, you know, like how horrible that was. But you look at the change from. And I love Elvis. Man, we should aspire to the genteel nature of Elvis at this point. And he was a horrible influence to some people, you know, what they thought was a horrible influence at that time. But look where we've come now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just what's happened in the last 50, 60 years with those kinds of things. And what we allow now as a society, where we're at, and putting down, I mean, going to church, and I agree. In fact, not only do I agree with that idea that what seems to be the case where the numbers are changing, people are coming back to church, which is awesome. What I also heard that I didn't realize until just, I think it was just yesterday, I heard that the divorce rates, as they're revisiting the rates of divorce and whatnot, that's starting to change. That, you know, it always used to be like within 10 or 20 years, the first 20 years, half of the marriages will end in divorce. And that rate is going down significantly. People are staying married longer.
You know, Kyle, this whole thing, the changes, and you know, we say people are coming back to church. Yes, they are some, but I think what they're doing is they're beginning to really search for God and a relationship with God. And the point of our sermon on Sunday was, you know, I asked the question, does the Lord have a day? And the point was that why did the Lord put in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes back before the law. I mean, that came with the law and Moses. But you go back to Genesis chapter 2, and at the end of the sixth day of creation, it says that God rested on the seventh. And God didn't rest because he was tired.
Right.
God rested to celebrate what he had done, and he also rested to teach us that we needed a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
To celebrate what's happened, to prepare for the next week. And, you know, we get to the New Testament and you see the disciples are worshiping on the first day of the week because that's when Jesus arose from the dead. And so the first day of the week, it's not the end of your week, it's the beginning of your next week.
You know, and you said that, and I thought, man, that's, I really like that. I really like that, getting refreshed and ready to start new. And it also made me think of the calendar, because I remember growing up that it's day seven, Sunday, it's the end of the week, and that our calendar, I was told our calendars are wrong, like almost like there was a secular influence on the calendar that we put Sunday on the left side and Saturday on the right side and the whole week in the middle, and that it should be Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
But I like this better. I don't know if that's true, that, you know, somebody thought of this as they were laying out the Sunday through Saturday calendar, and I don't care. But I like the idea of after this last Sunday, that makes good sense to me. I want Sunday to be day one of the calendar week now, because I have that day. I get to take a deep breath and enter the new week,
right,
revived and revitalized.
And you think about that Sunday, you know, what we did on Sunday, this past Sunday, last Sunday.
Yeah.
Is we looked at what Jesus did on Sunday. And he did not sit around and do nothing. But what he did was, first he worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he worshiped, he was out and he engaged people. But it was not a typical work day. I mean, he healed people. He taught. He did a lot of things on that day that was set aside, which back then was a Saturday,
mm-hmm,
in the Jewish tradition.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you see him doing all those things, he was not sitting around doing nothing. And it regressed into that before we lost it entirely, as far as our culture is concerned, where it was a time of limitations, and this is what you don't do, and this is what you have to do. And, you know, one of the neatest verses I really had never captured for myself in my own practical life was the verse where Jesus said, first of all, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. But he also said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Right.
And the culture that we describe with the blue laws and all that, that shift had already started happening, where the Sabbath became more important than the men of it. And that's not what Jesus said. When he came, and that's the way it was with the Pharisees in the Bible.
Right.
But Jesus came to show us that God loves us so much that he wants to meet our needs. And
yeah.
He even led his disciples to rest because he knew they were tired and they needed physical, mental, emotional, spiritual refreshment so that they could begin the next week. And we lost that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, you know, what I was just passionate about is that we don't worship the day. We worship the Lord of the day. And in his kindness and his love, he wants us to stop. Take a deep breath, mm-hmm, and quit adding more stuff to our Sunday. And let it be a day that we really connect with him, with our families, with our friends. And it is an emotionally and spiritually and physically rejuvenate so that we're ready to go into the world creek.
So I want to step back for half a second.
Okay.
And I want to try to keep it short, because I think where we're going here is also important. But why Sunday? Why not Saturday?
Well,
does it matter?
Yes. Well, you know, I think it's important that we honor the principle of resting.
Right.
And that, you know, it's hard for me to rest on Sunday because it's my most difficult
day.
Yeah,
it's your busy day.
It's a taxing day.
Yeah.
Now, I do try and get a nap on Sunday afternoon.
But, yeah.
uh, But yet, Sunday can be very difficult for a pastor and for other people. But so I think the rest is important. And mm-hmm. I don't know that that there's a certain 24-hour period that the Lord says it's got to be right here.
Right. Because Jesus was, he was a Jew. He celebrated the Sabbath Friday night to Saturday night.
Right. But here's what you see in the New Testament. You see that after the resurrection of Christ, the Christians separated themselves from Judaism. They still, many of them were practicing Judaism.
Yeah, they were kosher and whatnot because that's what they knew.
Right. But you began to see that they were gathered together on the first day of the week. And okay. The reason they were doing that is they were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's when he arose from the dead.
Right.
It was on the first day of the week. And so Sunday is not to be this mournful,
right?
You know, religious requirement. It is to be a day where we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ overcame death and hell and all the power of sin in our lives, and so we can have freedom. We can walk in freedom, mm-hmm. and we can celebrate. And you know, a couple years ago now, Majestic View Church made a change,
mm-hmm.
and we really started emphasizing worship. And today, when you come to our church, when we last Sunday, you know,
yeah.
we talk about, man, it was so fun to be here. It was so cool. It was so exciting. There's so much life. There's so much energy. And that's because the Lord said, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So if we worship him, he's going to draw people. A couple of Sundays ago, there's a man, the first time he'd been in church and going through some really tough stuff in his life. And he looked at another person that's one of our regulars and he said, God's here.
Well, that's kind of the idea, isn't it?
and you know, this guy was picking fun at him, and he said, well, it is his house.
Yeah.
And no, the guy said, no, you don't understand. I feel the presence of God.
Hmm.
And that was just so cool.
I think that's a good reminder to those of us who are, it's kind of like watching your kids grow. You don't see it. You don't see it as dynamically as the person, the family member that you run into once every 6 months. And then they see your kids and go, wow, they've gotten big. And you're like, well, you know what? I guess that kind of happened. And we're here all the time. And maybe we do lose sight of how important what we're doing here can be and the spirit of things that happen here and what's going on, and that it maybe is different.
Well, you know, I grew up on a farm,
mm-hmm.
and we had cows. We weren't ranchers. We were, I guess, we were more in the category of farmers, even though we had cows. We had cows and pigs,
yeah,
all that stuff. But I remember fascinating, sometimes I'd go out in the pasture where our cows were, and there would be what we call cow trails.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And when the cows were coming in, if they came to the barn, they would come in the same ruts. And I looked at those ruts, and of course, you know, then when you get a rain, those ruts would wash.
Yep.
Where the rest of it had grass. But we would play in those cow trails, you know. I think that there is just like cows have a tendency to walk in the same path, we as human beings can get in ruts.
Yes.
And so what is a rut in the church? A rut is when you're just going through the motions. It's when you're doing this because you've always done it before. And, you know, there is a value in consistency.
Mm-hmm.
There is a value in doing things in a way that are decent in order, so to speak. But my goodness, when we get in a rut and we're just doing it because we're supposed to do it and not doing it because it's bringing life and joy. And, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do at our church is it's the Lord's church that he's given us responsibility for. But
right.
But one of the things we try to do is keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I'll change up the order of things and I'll do different things, but it's, we want people to be able to engage and to come anticipating, not what's the latest trick we're going to put on. That's not what I'm talking about. But just keeping it fresh. And of course, the best way to keep it fresh is for the power of God to be demonstrated when we do come together. So anyway, those are important things. And I think that's part of this bigger picture we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Does the Lord have a day? Well, if we're not going to get in the ruts and bury ourselves in ruts, then we have to make sure our focus is on discovering our God anew and afresh every day, and especially on Sunday.
So I like the difference there between the traditional Jewish Sabbath and the Christian Sabbath, because we have a difference. There's like one huge difference between us and them, as it were, is we believe the Messiah has come. We know he was there. They know he was there too. They just don't believe he was the Messiah. And so we have his resurrection day, which just happens to be the day after the Jewish Sabbath, which I do find interesting. You mentioned that, and I just never even thought of it, that there was the crucifixion, and then there was the Sabbath, and then there was resurrection day. And they observed the Sabbath in the middle of that.
Yeah, the disciples did.
Yeah, which I don't know what else I would have expected, but at the same time, my brain's thinking, man, that's a lot going on. You know, I could totally understand them not being focused on their Sabbath duties and what would normally happened on that day. But they did it.
Yeah. You know, and here's a big thing. This might sum up a little bit about where we are as a culture. I know people that look for reasons not to go to church, that feel an obligation they're supposed to. You know, they say, well, you know, I should be in church on Sunday. And I'll meet people all the time. Well, I need to get back to church.
Yeah.
And, you know, they find reasons to sleep in. They find reasons. And when something comes along that's different than going to church, then, oh, okay, well, this Sunday I won't go. And, you know, and that's just a general attitude among so many people. Why? And Kyle, I'm going to keep coming back to this over and over again. It's because what is the day for?
Mm-hmm.
Is it for me to check a box? Is it for me to fulfill a requirement? Or is it for me, is it a day that I'm to set aside to vitally worship Jesus Christ?
Well, and I think this is important too, especially like when we talk to our children, why do I have to go to church? Because that's what we do. Well, that's a very, that's a because I said so answer, which is not usually adequate or appropriate. So I think being able to articulate to ourselves, quite frankly, why it is that we should go to church on Sundays, why. And but, well, maybe that's another question is, do we have to go to church on Sunday?
Well, and that's what we were trying to get away from, even the place where we're confining it to what are the do's and the don'ts.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you why you should go to church on Sunday.
Okay.
Instead of do we have to go to. We should go to church on Sunday for a couple reasons. One, it is a day that is set aside worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told us that we need to set aside a day, one out of seven, that belongs to Him.
Right.
And that we are committed to Him.
So what, but does that mean I get up, I go to church, I go home, and it doesn't mean I don't move.
No, it doesn't mean that at all. And there's a whole day there. But it does mean that you lay down your work. You know, you don't turn your computer on.
Okay.
You shut off your cell phone if you need to. And you separate yourself from that so you can rest. Now, but there is a second reason we should go to church, which was your question a minute ago. And that is, you know, Kyle, when I'm going through my week and every day I try to get up and have time with God and what I call my quiet time.
Right.
And we even have a thing we call soaps in our church where there's printed verses that those who choose to do it that way will use in their quiet time, okay? So I do my soaps. But you know, my soaps are between me and my Lord, sometimes me and my wife, mm-hmm. but me and the Lord. And that is a vital, it needs to be personal, intimate relationship that I have with Him. But when I come to church and I engage you and a whole church full of people, what happens there is a different dynamic, because I may be having a bad day and you're having a good day and you pick me up. Mm-hmm. And you may be having a bad day and I pick you up. Or you know what? There are some times that we're all having a bad day, but we come together and we support each other.
Right.
You know, I've watched it over years when somebody in the church passes, you know, goes to heaven.
Right.
If it's an older saint that was sick and they're not sick anymore because they're with the Lord, then that can be a celebration.
Right.
But on the other hand, when life ends, what we call much too young
right.
in our way of thinking, we just have to get ready. It's going to be a day of mourning. It's going right. to be a day of grief. But yet, we are strengthened when we do it together.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's
kind of uplifting in grief.
Yeah, because you're not alone.
Right.
Listen, we have an enemy. And what he likes to do is separate us and single us out. Because if he can get us alone, yep. then he's got all kinds of traps that we're more susceptible. I talk about in marriage, Deb and I, as we do our... We try to help people with their marriages. One of the facets of marriage is partnership. And the way we illustrate that is we stand back to back. And I say, sweetheart, what do you see? And she describes what she sees. And then I describe what I see. And we're looking two opposite directions. So you see, she's got my back and I've got hers. And together we have a 360 view. The same thing is true when we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we come and we worship together with at church. We have a better view of what's going on cumulatively than we possibly could have individually. And we need each other.
So you talked about, I don't know why this became one of my favorite stories, is Jesus healing the blind man on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees getting all excited about this, that he did work.
Yeah.
Because he made a little mud, and apparently that probably was enough work right there.
Oh, yeah, it was violating the Sabbath.
Yeah. And then he rubbed it on the guy's eye. Now, did he need that mud? He didn't need that mud. But he did it probably to stir the pot a little bit, mm-hmm. prove a point. That you're calling this work, but you work on Sundays. and that's okay. And we all do a little work on Sunday because we show up and we help other people. And so that's work.
Sure. It's different work though.
Yeah.
And to make that point, I made this in the sermon. Jesus even spoke about it, that the priest, in order to do the sacrifices that they did on the Sabbath, were actually profaning the Sabbath or breaking the Sabbath because they were having to do the work of slaughtering an animal and offering it on a sacrifice. And Jesus said, you know, what he's basically telling the Pharisees of his day was, you've made a mockery of this because these guys are doing that every week and they're the priest and they're not guilty before God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're going to tell me that a man is sinning against God when he's just been made whole and can walk again or walk for the first time in his life and he picks up his mat and he carries it? That's just ridiculous.
So let me take this to maybe an absurd extreme, but I'm just trying to flush out the idea here. So the restaurant or the car dealer that can't be open because of those blue laws can't be open on Sunday. Is there not a service that can be rendered there, and perhaps even a discipleship of sorts that can go on? If my car breaks down on Saturday, and I know that I've got to get to work so that I can keep my job on Monday, I am out of luck.
Well, that would be the proverbial ox in a ditch.
Okay.
let's just back up here just a little bit. You said a car dealership. I'm thinking about somebody selling cars.
Okay.
And can that wait till Monday? Yeah, it can. You know, can it wait till another time? Yeah, it can. The point is this. We can always find nuances and say, well,
right.
What about this?
Oh, yeah.
And what about
that?
And the Lord said, you need to rest. And I'm telling you this because I love you. Here's an analogy I think that fits pretty well in this.
Okay.
Your child, you remember when they were really small, and you probably had at least one, if not both of your kids, and they were go-getters. I mean, they get up charging in the morning, and they go like a bullet all day long.
That's right.
And then they'll be sitting there at night, and you'll say it's bedtime, and they'll go, and their eyes are sleepy, and they're about to fall out, and you need to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed.
Yep.
I don't want to go to bed. But as a parent, you look at them and you say, you're exhausted. Close your eyes and go to sleep.
My daughter is still that way.
Yeah. And that's exactly what God looks at us and says, listen, you have worked hard for 6 days. Stop and rest, and you will be better for it on Monday.
So what you're saying, I think, is I'm trying too hard to find an exception to the rule.
Well, that's human nature.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. And well, that's kind of my point, too, is, you know, we can find, but, at the same time, though, I feel like there's work that needs done every day. But maybe the question is where the benefit lies. And if the benefit is to my wallet, that needs to wait till Monday.
Well,
if I can go and volunteer and I can help people out on Sunday, I think that's a different kind of work.
Absolutely. You know, who's Lord of the Sabbath?
Jesus is.
Are you? Or is
not, it's definitely not me.
Well,
but if I make it that way.
We've made ourselves Lord.
Yep.
Where we say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to make excuses to get what I want to get or do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I ignore what he wants for that day.
Well, and is that returning us back to the first part of our conversation and wondering what happened?
Yeah.
We've started putting ourselves at the top of the list.
We've made ourselves the center of the universe.
Yeah.
And all of us are guilty at that at some level.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you think about this culture today and just how selfish it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
very narcissistic.
In the last week, I have seen 3 or 4 news stories where a man, and sometimes a man and a woman, leave their kids in a hot car. And one man left his kids in a hot car. One of them died. Mm. And you know what he was doing? He was in an adult bookstore. He was in a porn shop.
That's not funny, but goodness.
And so, can you be any more self-focused than that? And yet, that's not that rare anymore that there's somebody doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
It is so self-focused, it blows your mind.
That is a hard case for me to not attribute some kind of demonic activity there.
Well, yes, but it is the depravity of sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the old statement, you know, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and make you pay more than you want to pay, ultimately.
Right.
We think it's fun in the moment. We think it's satisfying in the moment, but it will take us to depths of selfishness that's just hard for us to imagine. And you think, I've heard so many times, I'll never do that. And then decisions are made, and another decision is made, and another decision is made, and that person wakes up a year later and they go, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And it's just one step at a time.
And how do I get back?
Yeah.
Which can be difficult.
And the point that God was making with resting was every day you need to refocus. Every week you need to refocus. I need to refocus every day. But there is a day. You know, my focus, refocus in the morning, this morning, was my time with the Lord, okay? And now here we go.
Right.
Sunday is a day to refocus on everything in your life. That would be to refocus with your family, to refocus, obviously, with the Lord Jesus, to refocus with your wife, to make it a day where your priorities are God's priorities. And listen, what are God's priorities? It all starts with worshiping Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then next on that list should be your family.
Yep.
It should be your wife. It should be your children, even extended family.
Yep.
And there's a thousand ways that you can make them your priority on that day of rest. But that's the priority. And it's not something you're chasing after. It's you know, well, we've made hobbies our focus on Sunday. And
right.
they take precedent over the Lord and His house. Well, that's where idolatry comes in. And that's a deep, deep trap. And I've watched so many people have their families destroyed because they're chasing after stuff instead of saying, no, today is a day we're going to refocus as a family with the Lord.
Well, and even more so, I think, than chasing after stuff, they chase after anything but God.
And that's human nature.
Yeah.
That's human nature.
So, do we need blue laws back then? is that where we're at? Do we need, and can we, should we have them back, and can we get them back?
I think blue laws were a natural result of people that were making the Lord's Day a priority. Today, for us to decree a legalistic thing like that, it won't work.
Do blue laws, do they start out well-intentioned and end up like the Pharisees?
Any law that becomes Lord of the issue and not letting the Lord be the law can come to it as a detriment like that. Laws are important. Laws give us boundaries. Laws give us discipline. But Jesus, in the New Testament, Paul wrote, he said, the law was my schoolmaster to bring me to Christ.
Hmm.
It was my teacher. You know, there's a sermon that I've preached over the years that is, it's 10 things I must truthfully be able to say if I plan to go to heaven without Jesus.
Right.
Okay. And it's about the 10 commandments. I must be able to say I have never, ever dishonored my parents. I have never, ever put anything above my God. I have never, ever lusted after a woman. I have never, ever coveted what my neighbor has. I have never, ever stolen anything, you know, and just going down the list of all the Ten Commandments. I have always made Sunday a day of worship, and I've never done anything but worship the Lord on that day.
Right.
And the fact is, every one of the things I just said at some level, I violated.
Right.
Because my human nature is that I'm a sinner, okay?
Well, and we've, just to put that in context, then we've discussed this before, that you don't have to go and shoot somebody through the chest and end their life to have murdered them. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have been unfaithful physically with your wife to have been unfaithful to your wife.
And here's the point. When I encounter God's word and what God says, this is what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I can't meet that standard. I'm not good enough. Then it creates that remembering of a need in my heart. I need the Lord. And I don't just need Him to make me a better man. I need Him because I need that relationship. I need Him because I want to be close to Him in His presence. Because the Scripture says, in Him is life. And the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was the light of men. When we get back, see what sin did to us, Kyle, is it separated us from God, mm-hmm. and it made us this with this self-focus. Do you know how literal the Word of God is? I mean, truly, Jesus was light in the fact that He gave us the truth. He gave us the way to see things accurately. Mm-hmm. But literally, when conception happens, when it happened to me and to you, when we were yep. conceived in our parents, with our parents, when the sperm encountered the egg, there is a spark
yep.
of life. God is the author of life. And people that say, you're just a bunch of pro-life idiots, listen, life began with the infusion of the light of God when that sperm and that egg came yep. to meet each other.
Well, and I love that that's something that we have discovered recently.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Well, and
we need the Lord. We need that connection.
And I know that right now the Shroud of Turin is getting a lot of attention again. And as they're re-examining it, looking at it going like, how did that image even get created? And the best thing anybody's come up with scientifically so far is a massive amount of light from the inside of whatever was inside the shroud went through it and caused that image to be put on it.
Wow.
You know, like, that's... And it cannot be replicated today. So obviously the technology didn't exist. No matter how old one wants to think that thing is, that technology didn't exist 500, 2,000, whatever years ago.
Wow. That's interesting.
So,
he is light.
Maybe
truly there was an explosion of light when his body was resurrected.
Right.
Amen. You know, this coming Sunday, we're going to take another step. I keep discovering, you know, I've been doing these R's.
Right.
And
right.
This what men need.
Gotta get you a thesaurus and
yeah. And that's not the way it's happened at all. It's not like, well, I want to find seven R's.
It just kinda happened, yeah.
But we're going to do a seventh R this week.
Okay.
And I want to close with this today because, you know, we mentioned rest, and you'd think, well, rest is the last one. I really thought it was. And there's a verse of Scripture that we're going to zero in on, and it says, your salvation, my salvation, is in repentance and rest. And you see, one of the reasons men can't rest is because men don't know how to repent. And we're going to talk about that Sunday. We desperately need to understand how to repent and what it means.
Absolutely.
And so as we continue on what men need, you know, we've talked a lot about what a male person needs, but this is what mankind needs.
Right.
Is we need that. So this week we talked about rest, and I hope, well, obviously it made you think, well, I really want that for my week. I want to be refreshed going into Monday.
Absolutely.
And that encourages this pastor's heart because that was my prayer. But I know some people are throwing their hands up and say, I don't know how to rest. And so this coming Sunday, we're going to talk about the key ingredient of knowing how to rest.
And my brain's already churning on repent as the seventh R here. And what's that mean? How do I do it? What happens? So I'm looking forward to it. And I'll be curious to see what our conversation leads us into next week.
All right, bro. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.